My name is Heather Padilla, and I'm going to present today on the process evaluation findings from the Fuel Your Life study, which was a worksite translation of the Diabetes Prevention Program. And I'm representing the Workplace Health Group, and Dr. Wilson's lead on our team for this project. So just to cover the business of disclosures, I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. Today in this presentation, I want to describe our methods that we used in this study for the process evaluation. I want to talk about those things in the context of the REAIM framework, and then discuss ideas for managing time and resources within the work sites without compromising program intensity. So the intervention was called Fuel Your Life, and it was a worksite translation of the Diabetes Prevention Program. And if you're not familiar with the Diabetes Prevention Program, it was very effective for weight loss in a pre-diabetic population. Participants lost about 6.5 kilograms of weight, and that led to about a 60% reduction in the incidence of type 2 diabetes. It was very effective, but it was also a very high-cost, high-intensity program. The components of the program have been described, and each participant had a lifestyle coach assigned to them. They have frequent contact with that lifestyle coach over the course of a 16-session curriculum. They had supervised physical activity sessions, very flexible maintenance sessions, and they had this individualization through a toolbox of activities. And each lifestyle coach had about $200 to spend on a participant for either paying for childcare, paying for exercise tapes, a lot of resources to really kind of ensure that the participant had everything possible to be successful in this program. But what that means for translation is that it can be very difficult to then take that program out of the clinical setting with all of those resources available and translate it in a community or worksite setting. And specifically for the Fuel Your Life program, we were looking to focus more on the weight loss, the weight management aspect, and target a very broad worksite audience. Instead of a lifestyle coach, we used a lay health worker model, and the program became primarily a self-study program that was much lower in intensity and had less structure and less accountability on for the participants. We felt that those changes were more realistic, though, for the worksite setting. The specific components of the Fuel Your Life program, the participant manual is modeled after the Diabetes Prevention Program manual. It contained the 16 sessions of the original project, but they were packaged so that the participant could work through them in a self-study with support at the worksite through two mechanisms. One was a peer health coach. And the second was the occupational health nurse that was present at each of the work sites. We used posters around the work sites to reinforce the messages that were contained in the manual. We encouraged family members of the participants to get involved, to participate. We provided a website that both the employee and their family could visit for additional information. The study took place in a Union Pacific Railroad mechanical group. There were 6 sites, 3 were control, and 3 received the intervention. The average age of the participants, or actually average age of the employees at those sites, was 46 years. It was predominantly male. Most of the employees were members of a union. And the site size ranged from just over 200 to nearly 1,000 employees. The sites were 24-hour operations, so the employees worked 3 shifts at the sites. And so from this study, we looked at our process evaluation data, and we specifically looked at it with the REAIM framework to help us to better understand our findings. And process evaluation can serve many functions. During the course of the intervention, you can use it to identify any problems and try to resolve them during the delivery. It can help us understand implementation and explain our program outcomes, as well as generate discussion about alternatives to the program design. And then, very importantly, it can help us to understand how to disseminate the program. So So the REAIM framework has five components: reach, efficacy or effectiveness, adoption, implementation, and maintenance. And I'm going to talk about each one of those in the context of our data. The data sources for the project were an environmental assessment tool that was conducted by a member of our research team. We did that at each of the work sites because they all have their unique personalities. They were all located in very different regions of the United States, from Houston up to Chicago and all the way out to Oregon. We did a participant questionnaire that every participant completed at baseline, at the end of the core, of the intervention, and at the very end of follow-up, which occurs 6 months after the end of the intervention period. We also had participants complete a satisfaction questionnaire that happened at the very end of the core intervention period, as well as our health coaches completed a questionnaire. And then each of our occupational health nurses were interviewed at the very end of the intervention period. So when we discuss reach in the REAIM framework, we're interested in whether the program reached the intended audience. And so we were looking to recruit overweight and obese employees who could obviously benefit from this translation of the diabetes prevention program. This slide shows our three intervention sites, the number of employees at each of those sites, and the number of employees and the participation rate for those sites. So we had approximately 30% of employees at each of the sites who participated in the Fuel Your Life intervention. If you look at the bottom chart, it shows a little bit more of the breakdown of what those employees looked like. So they were middle-aged. They had an average body weight of 218 pounds, and 90% of those employees were overweight or obese. So we did reach definitely a population who could benefit from the Fuel Your Life intervention. What we don't know is we don't have any data on those employees who did not participate in the intervention, so we don't know that they would not have benefited from the intervention as well. But one of the reasons we approached the Union Pacific Railroad Company about the project is that we knew that they had a very high rate of overweight and obesity among their employees. I've also listed the attrition rates, which speaks more to the effectiveness, but like many weight loss interventions, we did have fairly high rates of attrition during the intervention period. In terms of effectiveness, we were interested in whether the intervention achieved the outcomes that were intended, and we found that people who participated in the Fuel Your Life intervention maintained their weight, while our control group participants had weight increases during the study. We found that little more than half of the participants in the Fuel Your Life intervention did lose some weight, and that they had significant decreases in the time that they spent sitting. They had increases in the time that they spent walking, but there weren't any differences among their dietary habits. So we did actually achieve some positive outcomes, a little less intense than we had hoped for, but in the context of a public health impact can be very important. We discuss adoption in terms of the REAIM framework. We're interested in the settings and the staff who are willing to initiate the program or approve the policy. And in our case, we approached Union Pacific Railroad. Their corporate health and wellness group approved the study and selected six work sites to participate in the study. And those six work sites didn't really have a choice. So, but we needed, even though they had been told they were participating, we needed the support of the management at those work sites, and specifically the support of the peer health coaches and the occupational health nurses. So I'll focus more on that area. There was at least one occupational health nurse at each of the work sites, but as you could see, that nurse was responsible for 200 or more employees at the work site and had a variety of responsibilities, including the health and safety, doing some mandated hearing tests and other things at the work site. Therefore, we employed the peer health coaches, which were consistent with other activities at the work sites, so that we could perhaps reach more participants and have more frequent contact with the participants. Our research team did go out and solicit management support, and overall, the participants in our study felt that their shop management was supportive of their participation in the program. In terms of implementation, where we look at more of the fidelity to the intervention protocol, each participant got a copy of the participant manual. We know that 100% of the participants received the manual because that was part of the enrollment protocol. Despite the fact that they all received the manual and most of them felt like the manual provided the information that they were looking for, a large majority of the participants did not regularly review that manual, and there was on average, participants reviewed only 5.5 of the 16 lessons in that manual. The occupational health nurse was available to employees, and they were expected to deliver 8 presentations during regular staff meetings. And overall, employees felt like the nurse was available and provided information on a regular basis about the program. There were some issues with turnover and availability. At one of the sites, we had a nurse leave the company during the intervention, at the very end of the intervention into the maintenance phase. And that nurse was not replaced during that time. And we had another site where one of the nurses was very ill during the intervention and not available for a large portion of the intervention period. Those things are completely out of our control. Peer health coaches were employed to help increase the contact with participants. They were all trained by the research team and were given talking points related to each of the 16 lessons that a participant would be completing on their own. Most of the participants agreed that the peer health coach was available. However, most of them did not take the opportunity to talk with or utilize those peer health coaches. And the occupational health nurses did indicate that the health coaches could have been better. They could have been more involved with the intervention. They were selected by the occupational health nurses based on their rapport with the employee and their experience with other health promotion programs at the work site. We had the support of the posters just as reminders, and they were very effective in terms of just increasing the awareness, keeping it on the minds of the participants at the work sites. And employees did notice the healthy items that were available in vending machines, and some of them did actually purchase those items. The family support, when it was available and when the families took advantage of the information, most of them found that it was helpful. However, the website was very much underutilized. Nearly 60% of the participants never visited the Fuel Your Life website. And when we talk about maintenance and re-aim, we're looking at two components. We're looking at individual maintenance, but also maintenance within the institution. Overall, we were able to maintain the outcomes during the maintenance period, the changes that we saw during the intervention period. However, at the institution level, we know that work sites are always moving on to the next opportunity, so the program did not continue after the research was concluded. Just to wrap things up, some of the challenges we experienced, we were trying to operate the intervention by remote control, and there were competing priorities at the work site. The occupational health nurses and peer health coaches had to try to fit the intervention into their regular duties. They weren't giving a percentage of their time to devote to the project, and there were unexpected turnover and absences. Some of the recommendations from the site staff were to have scheduled regular meetings between the nurses and the peer health coaches and a mechanism to hold those peer health coaches accountable, to include monthly weigh-ins for participants. And very much the occupational health nurses want the research staff to come in and do the program for them. So our next steps are to look at a more at-risk population that may be more motivated to make lifestyle changes, and to actually employ trained health coaches to deliver the intervention, which is consistent with the work site, and to use delivery methods that are consistent with other work site programs, including telephone, group, and online delivery. I appreciate your time this morning. I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.